This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. Our guests this morning are Alfredo Cuarto, Executive Director of the Mangrove Action Project, and Anne Mosness of the Go Wild campaign. Alfredo and Anne are here today to tell us about ocean protection and the first annual Blue Festival, which will take place Saturday, October 3rd from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Maritime Events Center, Pier 666, on Seattle's waterfront. Welcome to you both.
Good morning. Thank you.
Would you like to begin by saying a few words about the organizations you each represent? Alfredo, would you like to start with the Mangrove Action Project?
Okay. Yeah, we've been around since 1992 and formed as a result of seeing the loss of mangrove forest in Thailand and other parts of Southeast Asia, and saw the loss due to shrimp farming. Shrimp farming is a very expansive industry that's been accelerating worldwide, expanding into Africa now. It's been in Latin America and Asia for about 20 or more years. And it expands in the coastal areas, and it's where the mangroves are found. And mangrove forests are very important for world fisheries and also for coastal protection and for carbon sequestration. So it's a vital issue to try to stop the further loss of these forests. So MAP, Mangrove Action Project, formed to try to address that and talk to consumers about shrimp consumption, because it's a big problem with consumption demand is the driving force behind mangrove loss worldwide.
Anne, would you like to tell us about the Go Wild campaign?
Why, yes. I commercially fished for 28 years in Alaska, Copper River, Bristol Bay, and here in Washington State. And the public always assumed that salmon and seafoods were wild. And as we learned over the last decade or two, there's increasing amount of farmed seafoods that are coming into the marketplace, and they weren't labeled appropriately. The colorants weren't labeled in farmed salmon. Country of origin wasn't on the packaging, and so the consumers didn't know what they were purchasing. And so I clearly understood that we needed to differentiate farmed seafoods, particularly the farmed salmon, from wild seafoods for the health benefits, just for the, you know, all the reasons that the wild fish are so much more integrated into an environment opposed to these feedlots that were coming into our marine environment. So I created the Go Wild campaign so that we'd have an opportunity to discuss the heritage of fishing, the economic value that commercial fishing brings to communities, all the political issues around seafoods and the sustainability of our wild seafoods, and also to clearly discuss the differences between the farmed seafoods and what nature provides, the abundant wild fish.
What led to organizing the first annual Blue Festival? What is the goal?
Well, the goal is to bring the public together with a lot of the concerned groups and businesses, scientists, people who have aquatic interests at heart and haven't been brought together before, to share information, to network, to build coalitions. And so this hopefully will lead to future events. And both Alfredo and I spoke at the Greenfest a couple of years ago, and I've had a booth there that was shared with me by the Fearless Fund. And we see tens of thousands of people come to an event like that, and it travels around the country, and to celebrate family farms on land and to celebrate sustainable food systems on land. And yet 70% of our planet is aquatic. And here our oceans that we look out westward towards are in really serious, they have serious problems because of our activities on land, you know, the acidification, pollution, plastics. So we decided that this was the time to pay attention to our oceans.
Yeah, the idea was the Green Fest is so popular and so many people know that it exists. We thought there needs to be a Blue Fest, something that's ocean consciousness and water consciousness. And it's very vital today of all times because we have such major problems right now developing around the planet, around climate change, sea level rise, acidification of the oceans, declining wild fisheries, and worldwide, you know, these problems have to be faced. So we thought the Blue Fest was a good way to address a lot of those problems and hopefully do something towards solutions of those problems through, you know, coordinated work together, bring some of the groups together. Plus, Seattle's a perfect place for this. You know, Puget Sound is here. A lot of people are ocean conscious. They love salmon. They love the outdoors, so this is a good place to start a Blue Festival.
Well, you've both been alluding to this, but would you like to say more about the current status of the world's oceans?
Well, I can tell worldwide we're losing our wetlands. The mangroves are a type of a wetland, and when they're lost, you're losing the nursery for three-quarters of the tropical and subtropical world's fish use the mangroves for some form of nursery or for feeding or for part of their life cycle. So it's really important for the nurseries and for the future of our wild seas. And that's just one example for mangroves. But otherwise, here in the U.S., there's coastal wetlands, too, that are being lost, which are, again, nurseries and very important for coastal integrity. We're seeing coastal areas converted to housing and development of tourist industries around the world, golf courses. This is destroying, basically, our water side of the planet. And it's destroying our planet as well, because we're losing the vital functions that the oceans perform, including carbon sequestration. Right now, the oceans are being so full of carbon to the point of saturation right now. They're basically absorbing so much of the carbon from the pollutions that the oceans are becoming acidic. It's forming kind of a carbonic acid, which is killing the shellfish and the shell type of creatures like the mollusk and so on. When those types of sea animals are dying, that coral reef as well, this is really trouble for the rest of the planet.
Well, and we also see the effects of the coastal pollution and diversion, damming, dredging, dirtying our waterways, our rivers, so that we no longer can support here in the populated states those abundant salmon populations that we still see in some parts of Alaska. And yet pollution has its effects up there. I fished the Copper River fisheries in Prince William Sound. And so the Exxon oil spill not only was a scar on that whole environment, but it was a searing experience for those communities and those family businesses, those fishing businesses that really never have had the return of the fish, the herring, the fish that supported them. And so it just takes a catastrophe like that to do great cultural and social, emotional, as well as environmental damage. And the other fisheries that I have most experience with, Bristol Bay, where it's the phenomenal gift of nature. More than 40 million sockeye returned this last summer in a month to those river systems. And yet that region is targeted for the deepest open pit gold, copper, and molybdenum mine in North America. So here we're putting, you know, nature's greatest gift to the planet, this wild salmon run that probably was abundant in our rivers down in this in these states, we're putting it at risk with short-term, you know, non-renewable extraction and consequent pollution from those kinds of activities. So we have an opportunity now to change some of our practices and to take a really good look at what we do and to make some decisions about whether these activities are really necessary and to protect our environment. And so that's one of the reasons that we're calling attention to these serious issues. But on the other hand, the Blue Festival is also meant to celebrate what we're doing well. And the increasing consciousness and commitment by many maritime and fishing businesses to good environmental stewardship and to the reasons to grow a blue-green economy in our coastal regions. And so we have a lot of things that we want to celebrate as well as to educate when people come to the Blue Festival.
Would you give an overview of the various aspects of ocean protection that will be covered during the individual presentations and panel discussions at the Blue Festival?
Well, we have 15 slots of time that will be filled with films and with presentations and with panels. And some of the films are Cadillac Desert, and that will be followed by a panel that's being organized by Save Our Wild Salmon. So we'll have an Eastern Washington wheat grower, along with people that are concerned about river issues, and then Save Our Wild Salmon, of course, is concerned about the damming of the Columbia. We have another movie called Shipping Out, which is about women who go to sea, and we'll have a panel organized by the Women's Maritime Association. We have Red Gold, that's about the pebble mine that's proposed for Bristol Bay. So those are some of our films. And then we have other panels that are about sustainable seafoods, about pesticides and the effects of pesticides on marine organisms. And we have the panel that's going to talk about the National Offshore Aquaculture Act that is unfortunately being promoted right now, both in our state waters as well as in our federally managed waters. And that would allow increased feedlots of a variety of species right here in Washington. Already we allow non-native Atlantic salmon to be produced in open cages. And the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which is a large part of the Department of Commerce, is actually proposing increasing the finfish species, such as black cod, open ocean aquaculture in the Strait of Juan de Fuca, more culture of non-native salmon, even increased shellfish production, such as the gooey ducks and use of oyster bagging, which is really harmful to our tidelands. So we have panels that will bring in experts from around the country to discuss these important topics. And we invite people to come in and participate with us in learning about these.
we're also talking about sustainable seafood. One of the issues we'll be dealing with is what people eat. A lot of people are not aware of the problems of their consumption habits, and they're eating species that are going extinct, like the orange roughy or the farmed shrimp. How much cause of damage is happening around the world because of the farming of shrimp in the mangrove forest areas and other coastal areas. So these kinds of issues need to be brought up to the public, who are hopefully will be aware and then change their diets to be more sustainable.
And some of our local panels will be the Seattle Port Commissioner's race, and we're also having a panel on the heritage and economic value and future of our maritime and fishing industries.
I'm Diane Horn, and we are speaking with Alfredo Cuarto, Executive Director of the Mangrove Action Project, and Ann Mosness of the Go Wild campaign. Our topic is ocean protection and the first annual Blue Festival, which takes place Saturday, October 3rd at Pier 66 on Seattle's waterfront. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. Would you give some examples of the speakers who will present at the first annual Blue Festival?
I know that we have a long list of speakers. Ann might know them better than I, but I can say Costin Trenner, who's with Greenpeace now, has written a book called Sustainable Sushi, will be there. Paul Molyneux, who's written a book called Swimming in Circles, who's an author as well. Diane Wilson is going to be there. Ann can talk about her. But a lot of speakers are coming in with expertise in ocean pollution issues, acidification of the oceans, farming of fish in the oceans, the problems with that. Also, people will have ideas of solutions that we hope to bring to the public through their talks and panel discussions, bringing the public into that discussion with questions and answers at the end of each panel. Emma has more to say about the speakers.
Well, one of our speakers is Dr. Chris Sabine, who's with National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and he'll be speaking on the climate change and acidification panel. And Alfredo mentioned Diane Wilson, and I met Diane several years ago after reading about her. And she's from the coast of Texas, and she's a fourth-generation shrimp fisherwoman who read that her county, Calhoun County, was the most polluted in the country. And I was in Houston for a conference, and so I drove down to meet Diane, and driving past all these refineries was like driving through a radiation zone. And then you come to the very last stretch of undeveloped coastline of Texas, and it was this little charming town called Seadrift. And Diane had realized that so many neighbors and family members had gotten cancer or were very, very ill at very early ages, and it was this illegal outpouring of chemicals into her beloved Lavaca Bay. And so she decided that the only way to call attention after years of trying to go through the political system and call attention to the pollution was to do hunger strikes. And so every once in a while, we'd get a call that Diane was sitting in the back of a pickup truck on a 30-day hunger strike, and could we get some publicity or could we help her? And she's done this several times, I would say probably four or five times. She's taken up causes that she believes in so fervently because she is so connected with our ocean environment. Although hers is the Gulf of Mexico, Texas. But she has five children, so she's deeply committed to making sure that what she leaves for her children is a better world. And so she's one of our speakers. Diane is a co-founder of Code Pink. She is the founder of the organization An Unreasonable Woman, or the Unreasonable Women. She's spoken at Bioneers. She's titled one of her books, An Unreasonable Woman. Her second book is Holy Roller. So she's going to speak at, I think it's 4:45 in the afternoon, and that will be followed by the movie Shipping Out and the Women's Maritime Association panel. But we welcome people to come and meet Diane. She'll be at the Women's Maritime booth, and we'd love to have people meet her. Paul Molyneux, as Alfredo mentioned, is an author. He's also a fisherman from Maine, and so one of his books is called A Dorymen's Reflection. So again, it'll be a chance for people to meet advocates for wild and clean oceans and wild fish from around the country.
The other speakers include Brad Ack from Marine Stewardship Council and Kathy Fletcher from the People for Puget Sound, Patty Goldman from Earth Justice.
We have a couple of presenters from PCC Natural Foods Market. One of them, Ellie Penberthy, was diligent in sourcing their seafoods, and she was able to find out if all of their seafoods were sustainable, and if not, then they changed product lines. And so PCC, in the most recent study that was done, has received the highest rating in the country for sustainable seafoods. So we have Ellie Penberthy of PCC on our sustainable seafoods panel, and she'll be followed by Brad Ack and then Trudy Bialik of PCC, who is going to speak about the organic certification that is being proposed for aquacultured fish. And so these are really wonderful local people, and if the public comes and chats with them, they'll understand why PCC is so well regarded also in our region.
There'll also be entertainment like music, poets, sea poets will be featured there as well. So throughout the day, there'll be different people doing music and poetry.
Those are the Fisher Poets from the Fisher Poet Gathering in Astoria that's been going on for maybe 13 or 14 years. And we're very pleased to have some of the Fisher Poets with us, along with traditional maritime musicians. And so in the buoy room down at the Maritime Event Center will be ongoing entertainment, which will be delightful. And just like the Maritime Event Center has a lot of interactive displays for children, I think they'll find that the entertainment, the nautical musicians and the Fisher Poets will be very entertaining, very delightful.
Let's now go into a bit more detail about each of your work, because you'll both be presenting at the festival and be part of panels. And both of you have been involved in promoting sustainable seafood and bringing forth concerns about aquaculture, the environmental and social problems involved with that. Anne, would you like to start out and tell us more about your background as captain of salmon fishing boats and what led to your concern initially about protecting wild salmon?
It was purely a quirk that took me into the salmon industry. My father commercially fished, and I was a social worker after college. And one summer, he asked if I could go to Alaska with him. It was a short season, and there was some peculiar regulations that required him to have a person on board of his boat for every 25 fathoms of net. And so I just went for a little summer holiday. And I actually thought it was so much fun and so rewarding to be bringing in those gorgeous fish and knowing that they were going to end up on someone's dinner plate, that I continued fishing for another 28 seasons. And my father, because I fished with him early on and then went and fished my own, and when he got to be in his 70s and I was actually thinking of stopping fishing, he asked if I'd come back with him. And so we continued to fish together until he was 84 years old and I was running the boat. And during that time, I married and had children, and my son, when I was no longer married, my son started coming into the fisheries. My daughter had already come a little bit. My son started at 10 years old. So for 4 summers, we had 70 years between the oldest and the youngest on our fishing boat in Alaska. My son now at 29 is running a boat. And so I see this as very similar to family farms and family farm life on land, where the families share a heritage, they're willing to make sacrifices, they're deeply connected with nature. The skills and the values and traditions are passed on. Some of my greatest moments of pleasure was seeing my father at 80 and 81 and 82 and 83, sitting at the galley table, telling his stories to my son at 10, 11, 12. And I had a couple of deckhands, and so we could run the boat, and we would watch this passing on of deep knowledge and deep regard for nature and for what we were providing for people. And so I saw that become very much at risk when the farm salmon, cheap subsidized farm salmon, started coming into the marketplace, and it wasn't identified. And in the late 90s, I met a woman who had become so ill eating farm salmon that she did research and she published an article that described the petrochemical colorants that's used to give farm salmon that orange color that sometimes is unnatural and sometimes seems to replicate wild fish. And I realized that we needed to force compliance with an FDA regulation that salmon that's artificially colored had to be labeled so that consumers could differentiate in the marketplace. Otherwise, it was tarnishing the reputation of all wild salmon. So after speaking at the Public Interest Environmental Law Conference and meeting some attorneys who realized that the public was also entitled to this accurate labeling, in 2003, a class action lawsuit was filed, and most stores now comply with that FDA regulation that says that the farm salmon must be labeled prominently and conspicuously with the wording that it contains artificial colorants. And that is both a health advisory and also so people are not buying something that they believe is a wild fish in a truth that's been raised in a feedlot.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Ann Mosness of the Go Wild campaign and Alfredo Cuarto, Executive Director of the Mangrove Action Project. Our topic is ocean protection and the first annual Blue Festival, which takes place Saturday, October 3rd at Pier 66 on Seattle's waterfront. Alfredo, would you like to say more now about the mangrove forest ecosystems and remind us why they're important? You alluded to this at the beginning, but say more.
Yeah, the systems called mangrove forests are a type of wetland, actually a coastal wetland, and they're a type of tree is called a halophyte because they can grow in brackish or salty waters. And they're very important for coastal integrity. They help remove the pollution from the upland waters that come through them. They're good for purifying the waters. They hold the soils in place to keep the coral reef and seagrass beds healthy because otherwise they have a lot of problems with erosion and sedimentation, which kill those important ecosystems. They're vital for fish nurseries. They're very important for the detritus or the food chain of the ocean. They provide also shelter for local people, protecting them from hurricanes and tsunami waves even. We feel that where people live behind the mangrove forests, they're protected. And a good example with the recent hurricanes that happened in Bangladesh and Burma, where the mangrove forest saved people in Bangladesh, but in Burma, when they were cleared, the same areas that got hit by hurricanes there were just wiped out and over 100,000 people were killed. That's just a couple of years ago. The tsunami, as you know, in 2004, wiped out a lot of people. Over 200,000 people were killed, and especially in areas where there were no mangroves, the damage was worse. So important buffers, they serve a lot of purposes on this planet, including carbon sequestration, which is really vital today with climate change and sea level rise, especially with increasing forces of hurricanes and waves coming higher to shore and more erosion. So for these reasons, it's really important to protect those remaining forests, and only half of them remain today. And one of the things I'll be talking about at my talk on the sustainable seafood is the idea that people eating shrimp have to ask where the shrimp comes from. We have a campaign called Shrimp Less, Think More, meaning think more about what you eat, especially the shrimp coming into our country. It's not that healthy to eat either because they use a lot of antibiotics and pesticides in raising these farmed creatures. You know, they're raised in real dense quarters, same as a salmon, using antibiotics to raise them for disease purposes, to keep the diseases from wiping out their stock. But we're unfortunately becoming a victim to that pollution in those fish or shrimp by eating those varieties of farmed seafood, as well as the problem of feeding the farmed seafood, whether it's shrimp or salmon, wild fish to feed that kind of product. For every shrimp, it might take 3 to so pounds of wild fish to feed it. For salmon, it's 3 to 5 pounds, even worse, to feed the farmed salmon, wild fish. So we're basically wiping out our wild oceans by taking away the nursery grounds, feeding them the wild fish that exist in the oceans, polluting the oceans, killing the ecosystems like the coral reef and the seagrass beds to produce farmed varieties of fish for us. It goes the same here in Puget Sound or Canadian waters in the Strait. We find people are finding the salmon there are being polluted. The wild salmon are actually in danger now because of farmed and introduced salmon, where the diseases as well as parasites are killing the wild stocks of salmon here in the Pacific. We can't see this kind of thing continue. We think the oceans can be the place to raise fish, the wild oceans, wild fish, not farmed, because farming really limits our production. It's endangerment of the wild seas. We're trying to get more people to think of restoring our wild oceans back to health as a way to restore our wild fisheries and our appetite for fish to can then be maintained.
What do you recommend for consumers in terms of approaching their purchase of shrimp?
Approach the retailer or the restaurant with the question, where does this come from? How is it raised? Is it wild caught or farmed? If it's farmed, you almost bet there's a lot of problems with it as far as where it's raised, how it's raised, what's in it as far as antibiotics and so on. We cannot endorse the idea of supporting farmed varieties of wild finfish or shrimp at this point because they're carnivorous animals. Like I say, for these shrimp that are fed other wild fish, it's basically a deterrent to restoring our wild oceans because it's actually increasing the damage that's being done.
So in general, what kind of response is being gotten to campaigns for sustainable seafood? I mean, you have your specific campaign, but looking at yours plus all the other ones that might be out there, how effective have they been so far?
It's a slow battle to raise awareness, also to change people's habits and appetites for shrimp, for instance, the number one seafood consumed in the U.S. today. We have the old adage, how much shrimp can you stomach rather than how much can you eat? Because you see these restaurants like Red Lobster that all you can eat shrimp. We're really trying to get more people aware of the problem with their appetites for this kind of farm variety of shrimp, and hopefully they'll question where they're from and reduce their appetite. Because if we reduce consumption back to a level that it was, say, 10 years ago, which is half the consumption of shrimp at that time, today about 4.2 pounds is consumed. About 10 years ago, it was only 2.2 pounds. So we've almost doubled our consumption in 10 years. We need to go back and reduce the consumption, consume the wild varieties of shrimp that are sustainably caught, like the spot prawns and other, the Gulf shrimp and the pink shrimp from Oregon. Those are endorsed by us as wild caught. They can be sustainably caught. But again, we still need to reduce the amount of shrimp that's being consumed. It's way over consumed today.
I think one of the problems is that we are accustomed to cheap foods, and some government studies put the waste in our food system at between 26 and 40%. And part of that problem is those all-you-can-eat seafood buffets and all-you-can-eat shrimp feeds. And so we're becoming much more conscious now of our place in the world, that we're not really entitled to plunder as much as we might have, and we shouldn't waste. And I think that here in the Northwest particularly, there's a good chance that people are much more aware of what they choose to eat. And so this Blue Festival calling attention to all these issues really only could happen here, I believe. It's in this region that we have discussions between fisheries and conservation groups, you know, between maritime businesses and people who, you know, work on land. Inland, that they never have an opportunity to have this coalition building and sharing of information. And this actually originated with me back in the 90s when we had these anti-commercial fishing ballot measures and a lot of, you know, hate language that was directed towards the fishing industry and towards tribal fisheries. And the voters in this region realized the essential part of our economy, as well as the bringing to the public these very good wild seafoods. They realize this is an essential part of our heritage, and we need to all work together to protect our habitat, to restore our salmon-bearing rivers, to make sure that our waters are kept clean. But I think that it's the consumption. The consumers now are the ones that are being educated and need to make these decisions about what they choose to eat. And by making really savvy decisions, they will help immensely in improving conditions in the oceans.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I'd like to just say, come to the Blue Festival and learn more about these issues. Help us find solutions. Help us clean up the Puget Sound area, as well as internationally work together to make a better future for the future generations.
And also celebrate what a wonderful place we live in, and to look towards our oceans and to feel a lot of pride that we're part of calling attention to the risks that our oceans face, but that we can also celebrate those businesses and organizations that are working towards restoring our habitat, restoring the health of our oceans, and growing our blue-green economy at the same time.
Well, thanks so much for being here, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diane.
We have just been speaking with Alfredo Cuarto, Executive Director of the Mangrove Action Project, and Anne Mosness of the Go Wild campaign. For more information about the first annual Blue Festival, check on the web at www.bluefestival.org. Again, that's bluefestival.org. And the festival takes place on Saturday, October 3rd from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Maritime Events Center, Pier 666, on Seattle's waterfront. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, selected sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on podcasting, and scroll down to Mind Over Matters sustainability segment. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and kexp.org.